Rush 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. TikTok's last chance? President-elect Trump asking the Supreme Court to postpone the congressionally mandated deadline for the social media platform to sell or be banned.
In a friend of the court brief, the president-elect urges the justices to delay the TikTok sale deadline and give him time to, quote, pursue a negotiated resolution that would save the popular app while also addressing national security concerns. Trump's nominee to be Solicitor General, who submitted the filing, says Trump alone possesses the consummate deal-making expertise, the electoral mandate, and the political will to negotiate a resolution to save the platform.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Explosion at a Tyson Foods poultry plant in Camilla, Georgia. A woman sleeping in her truck driver husband's 10-wheel tractor was killed when part of it burned. Several others injured. CBS and his family announced the death from cancer at age 78 of longtime sportscaster Greg Gumbel. This is ABC News. Murder and arson indictments here in New York City for Sebastian Zepeda, accused of lighting a sleeping woman on fire inside a subway train in Brooklyn, killing her. It happened on Sunday, and authorities still don't know who the woman was.
It's a priority for me, for my office, for the police department to identify this woman so we can notify her family of what had happened to her.
Kings County, New York, District Attorney Eric Gonzalez.
We know that there's a family. Just because someone appears to have been living, you know, in the situation of homelessness does not mean that there's not going to be family devastated by, you know, the tragic way she lost her life.
Gonzalez hopes fingerprints and advanced DNA will determine the woman's identity. Zepeda to be back in court January 7th. He's a Guatemalan migrant who say immigration officials entered the U.S. illegally. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Congress has extended the 2018 Farm Bill while they continue to work on a new one, leaving Wisconsin farmers somewhat relieved but still worried. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
One of the biggest problems cited with the current Farm Bill is that it was negotiated more than 5 years ago, so the crop reference prices are outdated. Paul Mitchell, agriculture and economics professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, explains the reference prices allow payments to farmers when a crop falls below a certain level.
Prices have been declining on the corn and soybeans, and the process is used to create the support in these times of thin negative margins. They're out of date. Those floors were set in 2018, and, you know, we've gone through a lot of inflation, and so, you know, $1,000 isn't what it used to be.
Mitchell says farm organizations have been asking Congress to increase crop reference prices. The farm bill was extended again for another year as a part of a spending bill to avert a federal government shutdown. Mitchell says a lot of uncertainty looms with the incoming administration's goal to cut budget costs.
So my real worry is that agriculture will be collateral damage for the new administration as they pursue other political priorities where, you know, agriculture is not their number one priority. And they will take the cost of agricultural hurt to address these issues they want to address that would partly help them get elected.
Other areas of concern in the farm bill, he says, are crop insurance, conservation programs, and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, which is still offering benefits too low to help those who need them, according to an Urban Institute report. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight with areas of rain, maybe a little mixed snow, foggy, and lows in the mid-30s. A rain and snow mix through tomorrow morning, mostly cloudy into the afternoon, highs in the upper 30s. And mostly cloudy Sunday, foggy, and upper 30s again. Currently it's 37.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, good morning. I hope you had a nice Christmas and a happy first day of Hanukkah. Matt Rothschild here, pitch hitting for Jane and Greg today as they're enjoying their well-earned holiday vacation. They'll be back on Monday. You're listening, of course, to Matt and Air on Air all across the Civic Media Radio Network. I got a fun show for you today. We may hear a little bit of my interview with Earl Ingram on why Trump won. And in the last hour, I've got two guests coming in live in studio. Carlene Beshin, one of the best organizers I know, who used to work with me over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and now works at Law Forward and Oregon Area Progressives. And my second guest is Mark Martin, who's been running the Goose Pond Wildlife Sanctuary in Columbia County for more than four decades now with his wife, Sue. Mark will be in studio talking about the Christmas bird counts that have been happening all over our state, and he's doing another one tomorrow in the Poinette area. So if you're interested in birds, as I've been now for 63 years, you won't want to miss that conversation. We'll have it around 11:30, 11:35. But mostly this hour, I want to hear from you on some crucial political issues we got to face. First and foremost, why did Trump win? How do we deal with him now? You know, what should happen as far as the criminal proceedings against him? Can you believe that a couple of prominent Democrats in the Congress say that Biden should actually pardon Trump, of all things? I'll tell you who those Democrats are, and I'd love to get your reaction to that ludicrous recommendation. The number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And I also want to hear from you on who should lead the Democrats nationally now. You know, I admire the race that Kamala Harris ran in some respects. I thought she ran strongly. She did a great job debating. She had a nice upbeat attitude. She worked her tail off, and yet she failed. And she was given a bad deck also. But I want to hear from Kamala Harris now. She's been quiet since the election. And if she wants to continue to be the putative leader of the Democratic Party, we need to hear from her. I know her staff is contemplating whether they should urge her to run again for president or whether she should try to just win the governorship of California, which looks like an easier thing to do. What do you think about that? The number is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I also want to hear from you about what's going on here in Wisconsin. There was a disturbing story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Christmas Eve about Wisconsin drifting rightward. There are more and more people self-identifying as conservatives, as Republicans, versus Democrats. A big shift has gone on right here under our noses just in the last 8 years. Why is that happening? How do we turn that around? Number again, 855-752-4842. But let's get to it. Let's talk about these Democrats who suggest that Trump should be pardoned. I mean, it's bad enough that Jeff Bezos and the Washington Post and the LA Times and Morning Joe and Mika are all sucking up to Trump, but it's even worse when the Democrats are doing it themselves. The two prominent Democrats in Congress who've said that Biden should actually pardon Trump are none other than Jim Clyburn of South Carolina and John Fetterman of Pennsylvania. Senator Fetterman, who's really lost his compass lately. He came on the scene as a progressive, but he said Biden should pardon Trump on the New York hush money case, at least, saying that, and these, he's just parroting Trump. This is what Fetterman said. Weaponizing the judiciary for blatant partisan gain diminishes the collective faith in our institutions and sows further division. I mean, that is just something that could have come straight out of Trump's mouth. And then more recently, just in the last few days, Fetterman told all of us on the progressive side, all of us who worked our hearts out to try to defeat Trump, all of us who have rang the alarms about Trump being a potential fascist. What did Fetterman tell us? He told us to chill out. Here's another direct quote. If you're rooting against the president, he said, you're rooting against the nation. Really? The president is the nation, and we have to root for the president, whoever that president is, whatever that president is doing. What kind of a politics are you talking about, Fetterman? That's not being a patriot. That's just being someone who salutes and says, you know, how high should I jump? I just don't know what's happened to Fetterman. Lurching ever further rightward, acting weird. You know, I first thought he was acting weird when there was all this effort to get Biden to drop out of the race after the incredibly embarrassing debate performance he had. And there was an interesting article recently in the Wall Street Journal saying that the Biden folks, the staff, basically hid from everyone how badly off Biden was mentally. They were saying that he was wouldn't take meetings before 11. He would cancel meetings with cabinet secretaries, almost never met with cabinet secretaries, including Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, very important position, and including Lloyd Austin of the Defense Department. And when he'd have appointments, he'd cancel them. The staff would call and say, sorry, he has good days and bad days. He's having a bad day today. Well, when the president's, you know, not able to work before 11 o'clock and is having bad days, you know, maybe he shouldn't be president anymore. And yet all that was hidden from us, and he was running again, which he never should have done again. He should have dropped out after the 2022 midterms, or either that or resigned the presidency and handed it over to Kamala Harris so she could drive a little bit and so people could get used to her and see whether they liked her as commander-in-chief and liked her as chief executive. But that didn't happen. And Fetterman said when the pressure was mounting for Biden to get out of the race, F that, he said. You know, I mean, it was just, you know, he's been so off key and off his rocker here lately that it's really disturbing for a Democrat who has some hopes of being a leader. We need Democrats who fight back. That's crucial here when you're going up against authoritarian. We don't need Democrats who are going to lie down, bend over, kiss the ring, and placate Trump. We've got a real problem on our hands with Trump and his authoritarianism. And anything, short of defiance is a real mistake. And I want to hear from you what you make of this idea that Democrats are floating, a couple Democrats floating a pardon, that Biden walking out the door should pardon Donald Trump of all people, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in here for Jane Mantenier. And Greg, who are off today. They are enjoying their vacation. They'll be back here on Monday. And then the other question is, why is Wisconsin drifting rightward? This front page story by Craig Gilbert in the Journal Sentinel, who for many years is their Washington correspondent, who knows Wisconsin politics as well as anyone with the possible exception of our very own Dan Schaefer. Dan Gilbert wrote this story noting that Republicans, people who identify as Republicans in Wisconsin, now outnumber people who identify as Democrats in Wisconsin by 4 percentage points. Whereas back in 2016, Democrats enjoyed a 6-point edge. So there's been a 10-point shift just over the last 8 years toward the Republican Party. 46% identify as Republicans, 42% identify as Democrats, 12% as independents. What's going on here? Why is that? Tell me. Give me a call. Let me know what you think on that. Craig Gilbert went on to say, the biggest gains for Republicans have been with non-college educated white men. Of course, this is a national trend. who have gone from 50% Republican to 57% Republican. Democrats have fallen from 41% to 32%. Why is that? Why is that part of the national trend? What's going on here? Here are my thoughts. You know, I think the Democrats, excuse me, have been losing lately. The brand isn't good. Mike McCabe has been saying that for a long time. Mike McCabe, who used to run the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I remember him saying 10 years ago when he was traveling around the state that, you know, people may believe in some of the things Democrats stand for, but the brand is tarnished. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. But I also think deliverables. Democrats haven't delivered enough for voters. Other than the Affordable Care Act and controlling insulin costs, what can Democrats, you know, tangibly point to that has improved people's lives? Pardon me. I know Biden did good with some of the infrastructure bills and the curbing inflation bill. But when you look at people's everyday lives, when it's hard for them to make rent, when the minimum wage has been stuck at $7.25 an hour since 2009, not even indexed to inflation. It's hard for people to say, wow, thank you, Democrats. I mean, you can, you know, if you go back to FDR days, you know, the president would put people to work. The president, you know, saved people's lives. The president gave them unemployment insurance and Social Security and the right to organize, real tangible things. And yet the tangibles just haven't been there for the Democrats. And to the extent that Democrats have delivered the goods for people, and I can hear some of you saying, well, they have done some good things. Where's the messaging? Where has the messenger been? Where has the messaging been? Hasn't been very audible, that's for sure. Joe Biden was inaudible as a president. He wasn't a communicator in chief, that's for sure. We didn't hear from him. He didn't do press conferences. He didn't do speeches, really, not very well anyhow. He didn't do weekly radio addresses like FDR did. And so in his stead, the message wasn't really getting out about the great things that he was doing, and certainly that it wasn't solidified in anything memorable. And then if you look at Kamala Harris and her messaging, now I admire her a great deal for her debate performance and for a lot of her style and grace and determination during the race. But what were her messages? Her message was not going back, but half the country wanted to go back. Her message was joy, and I'm all for joy, but it was an angry country thinking the country was going in the wrong direction, 70% or something like that. That's astronomical. So, you know, the message just wasn't there. We got to do better at messaging. And I want to hear from you about, you know, how we do better on all those things right after the break. And then I want to hear more of your phone calls at 855-752-4842. We've got Ross waiting on the line. I'll take your call as soon as we come right back from the break. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW System spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, good morning. Matt Rothschild here. I'm sitting in for Jane on the Matt and Air on Air show. Jane and Greg are off today as they're enjoying their holiday vacation. They'll be back on Monday. I want to get your views on what's going on with the Democrats, why we've been losing to Trump, what's going on here in Wisconsin, this ludicrous idea that Biden should pardon Trump on the way out the door. Number to call here, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Please give us a call. We got a couple callers, though. So, Kelvin, let's go to Ross. Ross from Crawford County, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking the helm today. Couple things. One, natural world. Two, political world. I'm up by Crawford County, and yesterday I was doing some outdoor work in a kind of like a natural setting and saw and heard a wren. And my eyes aren't good enough to identify it, but I used my little Merlin app, you know, to record the little chipping call that it was making, and it couldn't identify it. And it maybe it was a Carolina wren. Like supposedly it was spotted. There was one spotted around here, but then I thought there's this thing called a winter wren. Anyway, I thought it's the first time I've ever really seen a wren in Wisconsin in winter. That's just me.
Hey Ross. I do want to get to your political stuff, but let's stay with the birds for a second. Cause I'm an old bird watcher. It could be either of those two wrens. I've seen both wrens in the wintertime. The Carolina wren, which is a bigger wren, has got some rusty coloring on it. The tiniest little wren is with a tiny little tail is the winter wren, which makes a beautiful song. I actually saw one about 2 weeks ago. I went into the swamp behind my house and it was just jumping around right near me. And then the day after, I heard it singing with another winter wren and it has a beautiful sound. Kelvin, I think we've got a tape of that sound. Let's let everybody listen to this beautiful flute-like sound of the winter wren. So that's the winter wren. The Carolina wren makes more of a kind of a loud, much louder, more of a kind of brown thrasher, mockingbird, kind of screaming, mimicking voice. So I don't know which it was, Ross, but you're lucky. We're all lucky to see wrens in winter and to hear wrens in winter. Now, about your political point, what do you have for me?
Yeah, right. Okay, so I'm thinking it might be the winter wren because it was smaller than a house wren. But anyway, but my political point, I think you're on. Like, I think it's multifactorial as to how the Democrats are sort of at this point in history are sort of falling behind. I think the Democrats have. And I'm a Democrat and I have been, but I'm kind of like what middle class. I've never suffered through, you know, having to live paycheck to paycheck, except for maybe when I was much younger. I never had to like worry about rent and all that kind of stuff. And I think though, you know, those are hard problems to solve. I think that these, if you want to call them lower working class, blue collar working class people, their anxiety, I think, was, you know, when they're watching the news, and most likely they're catching it from Fox. Is they're seeing these large, what appear to be large numbers on their little square TV set of people coming across the border, and it makes them anxious because they sort of see cheap competition crossing the border. So I think it's like the you want to call them the undocumented, the illegal immigrants, I think was a big part. I think it's just these ongoing housing issues, like in Madison, for example, where you have all these great companies that are forming up, you know, taking all this housing, it just makes housing more expensive. And those are really hard problems to solve. And then I think you're spot on with Biden. Biden has sort of been a unique kind of, you know, when he came in 2020, it was really just sort of this interesting reaction to Trump. And but he you know, he represents sort of a different older class of any. I think he sort of burned out his karma, did a lot of great things, but it didn't speak to the working class. And so I think the Democrats are going to work through this. But I think to change the messaging from middle class or even upper class elite Democrats to working class is going to take some work.
Ross from Crawford County, thanks so much, both for the bird note and for the political note. I mean, I agree with you on the immigrants issue was just a huge scapegoat that Trump and J.D. Vance used, as demagogues do, successfully and regrettably. The housing issue, though, not only here in Madison, but, you know, all across the state and the country, is just so difficult. People are spending 30-40% of their income, a lot of people, just paying rent. And Kamala Harris did start to address that later in the campaign when she talked about building 5 million houses to increase the supply, which should bring the cost down with supply and demand. But that would have taken a while and wasn't going to affect people right away. You know, maybe they should be given vouchers to tenants or something, because the housing costs are ridiculous. And also, you alluded to this, Ross, there are these hedge fund operators in California and elsewhere who are just, you know, buying up houses like crazy in Milwaukee and in Madison and all across the country. And these absentee mass landlords are just driving up the price of rent. So it's increasingly difficult for people to make rent, as rents have gone through the roof and groceries have gone through the roof. So that's what people were facing. And Kamala Harris didn't get around to that fast enough or sufficiently enough. We have David on the line from San Francisco. David, what are your views?
Well, let's see. Regarding rents, I think that they don't express themselves enough. But regarding the humans, the FCC has gone out of their way to sabotage the communications methods in America, and they've been doing it. Well, George Bush came in, 2000, and right away put the FCC chairman was, who was the general, not Schwarzkopf, he put in Powell, Colin Powell's son. And Colin Powell at that time, you remember there were strictures so that the media couldn't be owned by single entities. 100 years ago.
Yeah, David, we're out of time. I appreciate where you're coming from. I'll pick that up when we come back. I'm Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for your call.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. TikTok's last chance? President-elect Trump asking the Supreme Court to postpone the congressionally mandated deadline for the social media platform to sell or be banned.
In a friend of the court brief, the president-elect urges the justices to delay the TikTok sale deadline and give him time to, quote, pursue a negotiated resolution that would save the popular app while also addressing national security concerns. Trump's nominee to be Solicitor General, who submitted the filing, says Trump alone possesses the consummate deal-making expertise, the electoral mandate, and the political will to negotiate a resolution to save the platform.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Explosion at a Tyson Foods poultry plant in Camilla, Georgia. A woman sleeping in her truck driver husband's 10-wheel tractor was killed when part of it burned. Several others injured. CBS and his family announced the death from cancer at age 78 of longtime sportscaster Greg Gumbel. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun.
It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Badgers hockey in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college hockey, it's the Wisconsin Badgers against Ferris State tonight at Fiserv Forum. It's part of the holiday face-off tournament going on this weekend. The Badgers hope to improve their record of 7-10-1. NFL, the Packers face the Vikings in Minnesota. 3:25 tomorrow, Vikings star wide receiver Justin Jefferson.
Just going against Green Bay, you know, everybody know we hate them and they hate us. The fans know just the whole rivalry in general is... It's something to get juiced up about. So I definitely rank this one high.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
I mean, all the motivation is right there. It's division opponent. Obviously, they beat us first game. So we're going into their place. And, we want to get some of that revenge that we're looking for. So we're trying to go down there and handle business in the NFC North, which we've dropped a couple games already this year. So we need to go get a win.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight with areas of rain, maybe a little mixed snow, foggy, and lows in the mid-30s. A rain and snow mix through tomorrow morning, mostly cloudy into the afternoon, highs in the upper 30s. And mostly cloudy Sunday, foggy, and upper 30s again. Currently it's 37.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you this morning. Jane is out today, as is Greg. They're enjoying their well-earned holiday vacation, so I came out of the bullpen here, try to pitch it for them or throw the ball for them, mixing my metaphors here. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air all across the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about why the Democrats aren't doing better and what they need to do to turn things around. I want to hear what you have to say on that question. The number to call is 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or 855-75-CIVIC, because this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Call or text, and I'll try to get you on. Right before break, we had David calling from San Francisco, and thanks for that call and that good thought on pointing out part of the problem is deregulation of the media. This happened starting with Ronald Reagan, getting rid of the Fairness Doctrine, continued with FCC under Michael Powell, Colin Powell's son, as David was suggesting. Also, Bill Clinton played his part with the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which deregulated radio and other media and allowed for monopolization and fewer corporations controlling what we hear and listen to. And part of the problem with our ability on the Democratic side has been our lack of understanding of the importance of building a media infrastructure. The right wing recognized it decades ago. You know, the Koch brothers and other right-wing billionaires and right-wing foundations understood how important it was to build a right-wing media infrastructure. And they did so very carefully. And it's paying huge dividends right now, and it's taken too long for people on our side to respond. So that's a problem. I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842. We've got Tom from West Dallas. Tom, thanks for holding over the break. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning. You kind of stole my thunder there a little bit. I was going to talk about like Rush Limbaugh and how 40 years ago they started this thing, and none of the Democrats, and this goes into the messaging, none of the Democrats saw this and just let it go. And they kept building and building and building, and they were playing the long game. And yeah, no media really stood up to counter it until civic media came out, really. And that I found a few other left-leaning stations throughout the years, but they all kind of went away. But you know, thank God you guys are still hanging on. Also, why the Democrats are down for right now, they might be. I'm not really buying it, but they might be. But I think, and what again, messaging, what really needs to happen is that at least once a month, civic media should look at all of Trump's promises, because he promised the world to everyone, and point out and hammer away from now until 4 years from now, hammer away of what him and the Republicans have lied and cheated on and did not deliver for the public. We need that badly, that it has to be pointed out. You know, Trump, first thing now he's done, oh, we're going to lower grocery prices. Well, now it's like, well, that's a real hard thing to do. Well, okay, hammer on that. Why is that a hard thing to do, Trump? You acted like it was all I have to do is stand in front of a microphone and say, hey, all you people, lower those prices and magically they'll go down. There's too much misinformation out there. Another thing I was going to suggest, or I wanted to talk about, if Kamala would have won, I was making a list of things that the Democrats need to do and step up to the plate and make happen. And one of them was the Fairness Doctrine that Reagan got rid of. We need to reinstate that. That would seriously combat Fox News and all these other right-wing people. And obviously times have changed now with the internet and all that. But something needs to be done to get this misinformation out of the public stream and point out, like, no, this is a lie. You are being lied to. But I see little bits of it, but I never hear enough to make a difference, or at least get more people to realize, hey, maybe there's something wrong here.
Thanks, Tom. That's Tom from West Dallas. Thanks for that thoughtful comment on several issues. I mean, you're right about the Fairness Doctrine and what damage the tearing down of the Fairness Doctrine has done to our civil dialogue. And it just provided a huge boost to, right-wing radio all across the country. You're also right that, where was our equivalent to Fox News, to Rupert Murdoch? I mean, Rupert Murdoch, billionaire, took a loss for several years running Fox News, but thought it was worth it, not so much economically, but politically. And so, there hasn't been a response from the billionaire class, as Bernie calls it, on the left to build up a media infrastructure. Yeah, there was Air America. It was run terribly. It wasn't local like civic media is, and it collapsed. It did bring us some excellent people like Tom Hartman and a few others, but there was no consistent effort before that or after that nationally to respond to this crisis of a lack of a media infrastructure. So that's, you know, part of the problem we're facing right now. I want to mention a couple other related problems, and I want to hear from you at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. One is money in politics. I mean, this is something that should be staring us right in the face when we look at Elon Musk, who spent $260 billion to help elect Donald Trump. He was able to do so because of the Citizens United decision in 2010 that said corporations and other groups and individuals can spend unlimited amounts of money so long as they aren't coordinating with the candidates themselves, and coordination is almost impossible to prove. And certainly there was a, you know, a lot of coordination going on. You know, Trump, you know, let Musk in Talking Points USA do the organizing for him at the grassroots. So there had to be some coordination going on there. But because of that U.S. Supreme Court decision, there's almost no ability right now to get at this huge problem of money in politics. Right now, we have a government of, by, and for the billionaires. Donald Trump has appointed more than a dozen billionaires since he got elected. That is a messaging point that I think Democrats and progressives should be hammering on right now and every day. Do we really want a government of, by, and for the billionaires? Or are we supposed to be, as Lincoln said, a government of, by, and for the people? It's not like we are right now. I mean, you can just see it with every appointment he makes. Do they really understand people who are having a hard time making rent every month? You know, who are one, you know, car accident away, or one broken stove from, you know, being in real trouble, or one healthcare disaster from being bankrupt. None of those people are going to feel that. None of those people understand that. Actually, Elon Musk had the audacity to say that there might be some pain in the short term. Well, there's not going to be pain for Elon Musk in the short term. I can promise you that. He's doing just fine. So we got some problems on our hands with money and politics. We've got to overturn the decision of Citizens United. We have to declare once and for all that corporations aren't persons and money isn't speech, and we've got to amend the U.S. Constitution to do it. Excuse me, there are a lot of people working on this issue, but this is a long-term battle. It's not going to happen tomorrow, not going to happen the next day. And we need proposals that can happen tomorrow or the next day if and when Democrats get power. But a related issue here, if you look at 30,000 feet, is the fact that capitalism is devouring our democracy. Capitalism's devouring our democracy because it's not delivering the goods to people anymore. People are not able to afford, getting to a middle-class comfortable lifestyle anymore. Rents are high. Groceries are high. Monopolies in almost every industry are jacking up prices, gouging prices. And price gouging is a feature, not a bug, of capitalism. They teach you in economics 101 that, you know, if it's a hot day, raise the price on ice cream and lemonade. And so price gouging is part of the system. And so what we have here is increased inequality, wealth inequality, and income inequality because of our system. And on top of that, even worse, is that those with all the money now are buying up our politics. I mean, we see that with Elon Musk and his $260 billion. We see it with rich people, super rich people on the left. I mean, I saw a headline in the other day that made me ill. Rich Democratic donors meeting to figure out what to do. Well, why should the donors be figuring out what to do? How about the rest of us? Or at the Democratic National Convention, do we really need to have Pritzker come on and say, I'm the real billionaire here? I mean, Bernie Sanders must have, you know, had a heart attack on the spot when that happened. It isn't about getting better billionaires to run for president, getting better billionaires in power, or getting our own. We need to be able to exercise power ourselves. And we need to do the grassroots work that's going to enable us to do that. But part of that is having the Democratic Party steer away from, you know, the big donor class. I mean, the big donor class didn't help Kamala Harris. They didn't come through with a message that rang true to working people. And Bernie was asking her to do that all along. He was asking her to address working class issues as soon as it became clear that she would be the candidate of the Democratic Party. And he wanted to meet with her and discuss that. And even the morning of the election, I remember Bernie being on either CNN or MSNBC. I was flipping back and forth saying, no matter who wins, he said that morning, Democrats needed to do a better job of addressing working class issues. It was kind of a weird day to be watching MSNBC because MSNBC up till about 5 o'clock thought Kamala Harris was going to win. And they were in a congratulatory mood, which shifted pretty quickly after that. But and then the next day, Bernie said, look, one of the reasons why, you know, we lost is we didn't do enough to address people's, you know, crying issues of groceries and rent. And so that's the problem now. We have a system that isn't delivering the goods that makes people vulnerable to a demagogue. And Donald Trump is a world-class demagogue. Don't fool yourself. He's more clever than a fox. And also, then you got the big money who are telling us, you know, who our candidate should be and tilting the scales during an election. I mean, it's a joke to say we have one person, one vote, when one person can spend $260 billion to help decide who wins the White House or not. I mean, that's not a democracy. We need to get back to where we really have one person, one vote, where we all have an equal say as to who gets elected and who doesn't get elected. And it's just a joke to say that you or I have as much influence as to who gets elected as Elon Musk or pick whoever billionaire you want from the Democratic Party. You know, they shouldn't be the ones who are dictating terms. We need to get back to a system where we have, you know, real equality of opportunity in the economic sphere and real equality, absolute equality in the political sphere. And so we need public financing of elections. To get there, we need to overturn Citizens United. We need to recognize that Citizens United is just shorthand, for more than 140 years of bad decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court dating back to an 1886 decision, Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railway, where a staff member of the Supreme Court said corporations are persons. And after that, one Supreme Court after another said, yeah, corporations are persons. We said so back in 1886. And then you had 1976 in Buckley versus Vallejo, where they said, money is speech. Those are the two falsehoods that underlie the problem of money and politics in this country, that corporations are persons. They're not, obviously. And that money is speech. Money isn't speech. And so to overturn those, we got to overturn Citizens United and all these other decisions that came before it and say corporations aren't persons. Money isn't speech. And we should be able to control more of the advertising that goes on during our elections and who pays for it. So I want to hear from you, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm sitting in here for Jane and Greg on Matt and Air on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, man, Rothschild, wish there were blue skies out there, but it's all gray today. I'm subbing in here for Jane Mannera on Mannera on Air. The number to call, 855-752-4842. Call or text, that's 855-75-CIVIC. We've gotten a couple texts that I wanted to get to. PJ earlier in the hour said, too much brainwashing is the reason why Democrats are losing. Alicia said, I think Fetterman is really a Republican now. We got a couple texts from Tom, who talked about economic royalists. This is the government of, by, and for the billionaires. And he said, Democrats don't push back and don't act bold like FDR. And then he said something that may be controversial. He said, never another woman. We have a woman problem in the country. We had two women running and they didn't win. I won't vote for a woman again, he says. Well, that's unfortunate. But I am reminded, well, first of all, a couple things. I never thought we'd have a black president. Barack Obama got elected. And so that surprised me. And a lot of people say, don't run a black person, he can't win. And they were wrong. Barack Obama won. And I'm sure that, surprised a lot of the doubters. But I have ringing in my ear a comment that a good friend of mine who used to work for Paul Wellstone, a black guy, smart, told me, in a country as racist and sexist as ours, running a black woman for president might not be the smartest idea. Now, I don't want to give in to defeatism. I don't want to say that we, can't have a woman president. That's ludicrous. We need to break that hardest glass ceiling of all glass ceilings. And I don't want to say we never can have a gay president. You know, Pete Buttigieg is probably the most talented person in the Democratic Party right now. Who's to say whether the country is ready for him or not? Were we ready for Barack Obama? Well, look at the backlash. Maybe we weren't. But that didn't mean we shouldn't have voted for him and got him elected. So those are things that you can weigh in on by calling 855-752-4842. Meanwhile, we got Bill from Oconomowoc who's been waiting. Bill, what's on your mind?
You asked about the Democrats losing. Here's why they lost. The Republicans build their campaign on fear. Somebody's going to get you. Somebody's stealing your money. Somebody's taking advantage of you. And more people bought into that than bought into hope. Kamala Harris's deal was all about hope, all about hope and change. Well, Americans didn't want to wrap themselves around it. This time, I think we have to learn by our lessons. We have to confront the far right in their media. They won't allow many people to even talk to them like I'm talking to you. They have screeners. One station won't even allow me on because they know I can actually defeat them in a debate, and that makes them nervous. We have to bring that to the table starting this year. We have to challenge them at every step of the way. We are going to make history that I don't want to see made, but we're going to have a 36-count felon with dementia as our president. I don't really want to see that. Now, we have to deal with it in a legitimate way, but we have to debate it. Debate is what we can really do. And trust me, if we had more in-your-face, but local debates, state debates, and national debates on the air, whether it's radio or television, you're going to change it forever once they hear both sides. Thanks, and have a great New Year's.
Hey, Bill from Oconomowoc, really appreciate the call. I do agree we've got to challenge them every step of the way. We've got to confront them on their own airwaves. That's one of the reasons I admire Pete Buttigieg and Bernie, for that matter. They'll go on Fox. They don't mind going on Fox. They'll take whatever Fox has got to give. And that's why Kamala Harris went on Fox once, didn't do great, was okay. But she should have gone on Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan had invited her to go on. That would have been a good idea. I also think Bill from Oconomowoc has a good idea about public debates. You know, I used to be on Wisconsin Public Radio every seventh Friday morning or so. When they had debates from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, someone representing the left, someone representing the right, and it was civil. They insisted that it was civil. We weren't throwing mud at each other. We weren't punching each other after the show was done. But people were able to get both sides and try to figure out, you know, maybe they should, reconsider their view if, if I said something they thought was right, or if the other guy said something that, you know, shook people up about their misconceptions. We need more civil dialogue in this country. We need more in the state. It's one of the reasons I think civic media is such a great idea and such a terrific experiment. I hope it succeeds here and goes all across the country, because we're stressing the importance of civic dialogue. We'll take, I'll take any caller who is a conservative or a Republican. I love, talking with CJ, for instance. I know a lot of folks get riled up when CJ calls, and sometimes he just regurgitates right-wing talking points. But, he's not a horrible person. He was against what happened on January 6th. I went out to lunch with him one day in Middleton. We had a fine conversation, and we're going to do it again. I think we need to be able to talk to half of this country, or at least most of the people who voted for Trump. They're not waving Confederate flags. They don't have Nazi swastikas on their biceps. Most of them voted for Trump because they thought Trump would deliver the goods to them more so than Kamala Harris would. They were worried about their economic situation. Maybe they were taken in by the demagoguery about immigration or some of the other ludicrousness that Trump peddles so well. But we can't dismiss these people. We can't write them all off. We got to win some of them over. I'm Matt Rothschild. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, and I'll be right back with one of the best organizers in the state, Carlene Beshin, Oregon Area Progressives. We'll be right back. Smiling at me. Nothing but blue sky. Do I see? Blue days, all them gone. Nothing but blue.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Dom Selvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A chance in becoming a post-Christmas billionaire. The Mega Millions jackpot had grown to $1.22 billion by the time they pulled the numbers Friday night.
Our first number tonight is 55. Up next, you have 7. That's followed by 3. Then we have 37. And finally, 49. I'll figure your Mega Ball number is 6. Those winning numbers are 55, 7, 3, 37, 49, and the Mega Ball is 6.
If there's no Friday winner, the jackpot swells to $1.47 billion for the Tuesday draw. Customs and Border Protection announced it seized more than 20,000 counterfeit vehicle inspection stickers that had been shipped from Israel to Philadelphia. We've learned of the death of Warren Upton, oldest living Pearl Harbor survivor and last remaining survivor of the Japanese capsizing of the battleship USS Utah. He was 105. This is ABC News. New York Attorney General Letitia James released body camera imagery of corrections officers at a prison east of Syracuse savagely beating inmate Robert Brooks on his first day there. He died the next day. The coroner ruled it homicide.
Caused by asphyxia due to neck compression. New York Governor Kathy Hochul ordering the termination of 14 prison staffers, including bystanders. Brooks was serving a 12-year prison sentence for stabbing his girlfriend in 2017. An attorney for his family telling ABC News in part, Mr. Brooks was fatally, violently beaten by a group of officers whose job was to keep him safe. He deserved to live.
ABC's Morgan Norwood. Athena is back home in Green Cove Springs, Florida. The 4-year-old German Shepherd Husky mix escaped its home 12 days ago. There was a frantic search. Athena, though, was able to find its way back home on Christmas Eve, no less. Even rang the doorbell to announce its to its humans it was back. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
UW System spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times.